Hello, this is the CoLab podcast. I am Charlie Wilson. I am working as the communications officer for the International Permaculture CoLab, and I have a very special guest with me today. Would you like to briefly introduce yourself?
My name is Katrina Dollerys, or Kat is easier to say. I'm also a permaculture activist and diploma mentor, and I wear some different hats. And I'm based in Denmark, and where I live, on this small island called Orø, and have my own little permaculture place here.
Amazing, yes. And you previously told me a little bit about the space you are living on and the land and all the work you've done. It sounds amazing. Yeah, maybe you could tell us a little bit about it.
Yeah, it's actually just a small plot, like a normal 1,000 square meters. So I don't grow it very intensely, but I do have a lot of self-sufficiency from the garden. I usually say about 50%. So I have some chickens and forest garden, no dig beds, that kind of thing, and a couple of cats and I also do a lot in organic building, and I've done my very old house up with clay plastered walls and timber from the forest. Look here on all boot and that kind of thing. So
Yeah, great. So you did a lot yourself.
I like that.
Great. And you mentioned the no dig beds. So, yeah, could you tell me what does this mean practically?
Well, yeah, it's basically about not digging or not turning the soil over, but instead adding layers on top of the soil. And we do that to preserve soil life and enrich it. So a natural ecosystem will normally feed itself from above, like leaves falling and that kind of thing. And so this is what we're trying to mimic, you can say. And when you are doing no dig garden, that means you can, if you start from a lawn or something, you can cover it up with compost, maybe add some a barrier for the weeds, like cardboard or newspaper or something. Mind the PFAS and the print and so on, but and then adding compost or something on top and then planting into that. So it's a very weed-free way to do it, and it preserves the soil and you're free from digging.
Wow, that's great. So it's so much less effort and so much more efficient. And
Yeah,
yeah, you're
the
also
effort.
preserving the richness. Sounds very
Yeah,
practical.
the effort goes into finding the right materials to put on top of the soil, really. That's and then maybe preparing the plants in advance. That's an advantage.
Yes, sure.
Yeah.
Great. And yeah, I wonder if you can tell me how do you work towards being more self-sufficient in the way you live?
Yeah, so I planted a forest garden, and it did take some weeding and something in the beginning, but now it's mostly pruning and harvesting. So it's creating more and more abundance just all by itself, really. Then I have chickens, so I have eggs, and that means a good protein source. And I have all the fruit and greens and potatoes and that kind of thing that I need. So that's quite easy. You can have a pretty nice diet from that. But I don't aim for 100% self-sufficiency, just 50%, because I do a lot of other stuff as well. So,
Yes,
yeah.
sure. Oh, that's great. And how is the place you live for growing? It's good soil.
Yeah, it's kind of a silty loam, so that's fine. And I live in a temperate climate, so we have usually a enough water and sun, but yeah, seasons definitely. So the winter is a bit slow, but still able to grow something in winter as well. So I always have some winter greens, and that's nice.
That's great. Food all year round.
Yeah, or else I'm quite good at preserving or fermenting or whatever. Yeah.
Yes. Great, wonderful. And I know you're involved in quite a few projects. As you said, you wear a lot of hats. But I want to ask today about the Nordic Permaculture Academy. So can you tell me what is it?
What is it? Yeah, it's an academy, so it's all about the education and learning. And it's about well, our aim is to, or our vision rather, is to live in a world where everybody can live by permaculture ethics, so caring for the earth and caring for people and fair share of resources. And then we aim to achieve this through promoting permaculture professionals, you can say, in a way, like taking the diploma, working through 10 designs, and creating kind of a, yeah, an academy of people who are really skilled in permaculture.
Okay, that's wonderful. And I had a brief look at your website. Very professional. It's great. And it you mentioned that you aim to run this sociocratically.
That's right.
And personally, I'm not familiar with this term. So I wonder if you could explain this to me.
Well, it's a lot about defining roles and taking responsibility for your own actions and for the development of the academy or the organization where you're in general. And so we have different kinds of circles taking care of different tasks. We're quite small yet, so we're still developing the structure. So it's me and Andreas, who lives in Sweden, who are co-founders. And then we have a large group, 50 or more apprentices at the moment. And we're starting to organize different work circles, so people take care of different things that could be administrative or public relations, communications, working on the educational part of it. That takes up the most of the capacity, because that's where we really want development. So
Great. And how has been your experience of kind of operating things in this way?
well, at the moment, it's very easy because Andreas is very, very skilled in sociocracy. So he steers it with a gentle and knowledgeable hand. So that's very nice. And we are working very smoothly together. And we're also including new members. Bit by bit. When we have like an open role, we try to fill it with somebody who is able to do the tasks and willing to work for our aim.
Okay, that's wonderful. So you mentioned your aim. So yeah, can you tell me what is your vision for the Nordic Permaculture Academy? What are you trying to achieve?
So it's really about promoting permaculture in general. And we would like to achieve a high quality of permaculture people, permaculture activists, professionals, educators, and so on. Because I think the world needs it at the moment. There is really need for understanding how the world works and how we work, and combining this in a sustainable, regenerative way. So, yeah, we want to yeah, basically, yeah, promote more permaculture. And at the moment, we have students from Norway and Sweden, Finland, Denmark, and more are coming as well. So we also aim to work closely together with the British Association and their diploma system. I'm also a diploma tutor in that system, so I know it intimately. And also the Baltic states, and maybe beyond. Let's see.
Okay, great, wonderful. And I wonder, how did you get involved in the world of permaculture, and what kind of inspired you to start this project?
So yeah, it started back in around year 2000. I came across it somewhere at university in Copenhagen. I've studied geography, which is really about the kind of interface between human society and the natural world, and how we use the land. And I've done work in both South Africa and Nepal and Vietnam. And when I was so I was interested in it even before I started traveling, and I got even more interested in it when I saw how that's working, or how the world is working. And there's always this aim for sustainability in projects, but to my understanding, permaculture is probably the most consequent in terms of actually trying to achieve sustainability or regenerative societies. So I was based in Vietnam at the time, where I decided that this is my path, because a lot of people start from the garden and want to do differently there, but I kind of started from the global perspective and wanting to improve the earth as such. And I couldn't really do that in the position I had. I was working for the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, in agriculture, and it just didn't sit right with me. I wanted something else.
Amazing. So, yeah, it sounds like you really found your passion
I
and your
did indeed,
purpose.
yeah.
Yeah. Okay, wonderful. And yeah, it's a big project, it sounds like. And I wonder, you must face some challenges. So, what kind of challenges do you face along the way?
With the academy.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Well, I think we've set the academy up as its own legal entity to kind of ensure that there is stability around the path that we are working on. Find that there's many people with many different ideas on how to do things, and as it is. So that can be challenging, like other people's perspectives and so on, and trying to keep continuity and stability in a system that needs development.
Yeah, sure. So I wonder how you're navigating some of these challenges. How has it been?
Well, it's constant work, I say.
Yeah.
But I think the main thing is to focus on what we want to achieve, and not get caught up in personal stuff, not get caught up in other like barriers or whatever, but just kind of focus on what we want and what seems to be the right path.
Yeah.
So that's mainly it. Yeah. Not to spend too much energy on what's not serving us.
Yeah, keep your eyes on the prize, we can say. Yeah,
Yeah, exactly.
I think that's very helpful. You remember that you're all pulling in the same direction. Great. And yeah, I wonder what kind of help you are receiving. I mean, whether it's like financial, practical. It sounds like there's a lot of people involved, and yeah.
We get good help from the apprentices in the academy as we are evolving it. And that's kind of the basic thing, I think. But we also get some funding we just got some funding from Nord Plus, which is kind of a Nordic educational, mostly on education and promoting programs that enhance education and cooperation between the countries. So that's a very good source to tap into. Also Erasmus Plus, we've done a lot on Erasmus Plus, which is the same thing, but just for European audience and countries.
Ah, yes, great. And it's the same Erasmus that allows university students to study abroad, right? They do these exchange programs.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Okay, great. So I guess there's different levels at which people can get involved in the Nordic Permaculture Academy, whether they want to come and work for you or take a diploma. So maybe you can say something about the different ways people could get involved and how they could contact you.
Well, I guess the main thing is if you want to become a diploma apprentice, that's the obvious way, and there's a lot of people out there who wants to do this. I teach permaculture design courses, and in every course there's like a large percentage that actually wants to continue on the permaculture path. So I'm very pleased to be able to offer this service really to people. We are also including people from other systems a little bit. We're working together with a guy from the what's it called? Academia Ibera, so from
Ah,
Spain.
yes.
And people from the English system. So we're kind of slowly growing, small steps.
Yeah, great. So the people that come through your academy, what is your aim for them once they finish with you?
Yeah, well, to get the diploma, first of all,
Yeah.
and this way become permaculture designers and professionals really, and also to live permaculture, you can say. So it takes a minimum of 2 years after you completed the permaculture design course and 10 designs. And this is to kind of prepare or mature people, or some are already there, obviously, and some need to refocus their life maybe on being more sustainable or regenerative. So the diploma kind of allows you to do that. So by defining your pathway and your aims, and then working actively through the designs to kind of achieve those aims, which have something to do with the permaculture ethics, or else it won't be permaculture. Then you can kind of prepare yourself for this permaculture life in a way.
Great, wonderful. And yeah, is there anything else you want to say about this project? Anything I didn't ask?
Not sure. Well, it's just that. Yeah, I think the world really needs us at the moment,
Yeah.
and we need to be prepared for the demand really for permaculture solutions. And this is one way of doing that, taking the diploma. Also being a little bit independent on general systems, like there are different ways of doing that, like becoming mortgage free or not taking a mortgage, for example, because that binds you up into the economic system, and working a lot. So I think setting yourself free by not having too many costs, that's one way of obtaining a life, or a life with permaculture that is not like tied into the old system, but being free to create an alternative.
Yeah, great. Giving people a way out of the system.
Basically, yeah, and
Yeah.
that's something you can design also through your diploma, for example. Like there could be a design on your economic situation or your life preferences, or like so working actively towards that. I can say that for me, I kind of set these goals of having my own house, mortgage free, and also becoming an educator and having a large network in Europe. These were some of the goals, and I think I really achieved it. And looking back, like when I finalized the diploma, I was like, wow, I actually really did it. So
Wow.
I think this thing of setting yourself some goals and then working actively towards them. You don't have to like remember the exact wording, but just the intention within those aims. That's the most important thing.
Amazing. So, yeah, you're really providing people with practical solutions.
Yeah, I think so.
That's wonderful. So, yeah, I think we have a bit of space to talk about some of your other projects if you want to. I know you're involved in a forest garden. Maybe you want to say something about this.
So I have my own forest garden on my land, and then my neighbor is actually a museum. Kind of it's for living how people were living in the countryside, like maybe 100 years ago or something. And permaculture is not like a practice from that time, but self-sufficiency is. And so I'm managing a forest garden there on the museum, and showing people different plants, medicinal and edible plants, that some of them are mostly forgotten, or people don't know like how to use them and so on. So I always talk about that when giving tours and so on. We do community things together, like apple pressing day, or like just being able to kind of promote using what you have, basically, because everybody's got a lot of apples when that time comes. Everybody's got a lot of everything, so there's really an abundance. It's just understanding, I think, how to use this abundance. That's key.
Oh, that's so great. So you do these group tours and kind of community days.
We do. We do that.
Amazing. And I think you have any other projects you wanted to share? I think you're involved in some other things.
I think I want to share a little bit about the land project. So LAND stands for Learning Edu Learning Activity Network and Demonstration for Permaculture. And so my place here is kind of a demonstration site. It's an idea that came from UK, from the British Association. And I was very impressed by how that gives visibility to projects and acknowledgement. And I was volunteering at some point in UK and really understanding a lot more about how permaculture works practically. And so when I met Andy Goldring, who's the director of the British Association, he talked about the land network and how they aim to achieve like 1,000 visitors to these land centers. And they didn't get 1,000 visitors, they got 32,000 visitors or something like that. And that kind of I understood that there is really a need to see permaculture in practice and make it available to people to come and see real places and talk to real people about permaculture and see how it's actually functioning. I think the power of the example is probably the best one. Instead of just talking about it, then we actually have to do it in real life. And so the land project was that. And so we have, I think it's 10, 15 land centers in Denmark, and it's I've also helped promote that idea in Norway and Sweden, Finland and Estonia. So there's quite a few really nice permaculture demonstration sites around.
Great. Wow, you're involved in so much. Sounds like you're really living it, living your purpose, living your passion.
I think I am actually, and it's very satisfying, I
Yeah.
can
Amazing. Okay. Yeah, thank you so much. Such a wealth of information and projects you have shared. And yeah, we're going to come to a close. Is there anything you want to share before we finish the talk?
Yeah, well, just I somehow I like to give people hope that we can actually achieve something, a better world. And so this is what I have been working for, and I guess just don't give up. Just keep on doing what you feel is right.
Amazing. Thank you. Wonderful. All right. So it's been a pleasure speaking with you. Thank you
Likewise.
so much for sharing everything. And yeah, do you have, as we close, maybe you can tell us where people can find you.
So you can look at nordicpermacultureacademy.org. I also have a website called geoliu.dk if you want to have a look there. Or come round to see my little place and my little island.
Okay, perfect. Thank you so much.
Right. Thank you.
Okay, bye bye.
Bye-bye.